Last week we introduced the sugya of bailos and halacha in terms of when you have different people owning different interests, so who exactly is considered to be the bailam bedavar. So last week we spoke about the sugya of kinyan peiros versus kinyan aguf, where I own the basic guf hakarka, I own the land, but I sold you in effect rights to the fruit. So is it considered to be my land, it's to be your land? We spoke about the nafkaminas and the chos bikurim, this being the test case, how this plays out in terms of the relationship between husband and wife, in terms of property. Now we move on to another type of a quote-unquote joint common ownership, where different people have different stakes in a particular item, and that's the relationship between the masker and the socher. So let's say I own a car, and I rent you out the car. I own a house, and I rent you out the house. So for the next 6 months, you're going to be able to drive the car. For the next 6 months, you're going to be able to live in the house, and you're going to pay me for that, right? So that's called the relationship of a masker and a socher. So who is considered to be the owner for that period of time? Obviously, after the 6 months are over, so that's going to go back to the original owner completely. But within that interim period where the socher is using the item, so what does the halacha say about that? Is that the same as a kinyan peiros? Is that better than a kinyan peiros? Is that worse than a kinyan peiros? What exactly is the status of that type of a momentous relationship of a masker and a socher? So the Gemara in the first Berakh Maseches of Adizara raises this question and uses the following formulation, Schiris Kanya or Schiris Lo Kanya. Namely, the context of the sugya is, whenever the halacha declares that there are certain dinim that emanate from bailos and ownership, when you have a masker socher, who actually is the owner? So the case that the Gemara raises is concerning the issur in the Torah of having a avodah zarah in one's home. The Gemara says, commenting on the pasuk, the Torah says in Parashat Sekev, that one is not permitted to have a avodah zarah in one's home. Even though one's not worshipping the avodah zarah, one doesn't believe in the avodah zarah, just the having of a desire in one's home is a problem. So in theory, let's say I live in New Jersey and I have a home in California, I'm nowhere near that home, 3,000 miles away, it doesn't matter. Just the fact that I have a desire in my property, that in and of itself is problematic. The reason Machlekes and Rishonim, whether that's really an issue going with the Reis or not, that one can argue that the issue of the Reis of Losavi is only if I'm sitting in my living room, Mamish in front of me all the time, maybe that's the Reis. If I'm not really using the house, maybe it's not the Reis. That's a question. We're going to work with the assumption that we're talking about a real bona fide issue of the Reis of Losavi Suev Obeisach. It all depends on, is it my house or not my house? So comes the Gemara and says, it's because of this issue of Losavi Suev Obeisach that we have a very serious problem. Say a person owns a house and they want to rent the house to a non-Jew. And the non-Jew happens to be an Ovid of Avodah Zarah. So the non-Jew is going to bring in idols into his house, into quote-unquote his house. So the question is, whose house is that? So if you hold that Schiris is Kanya, if you hold that when I enter into a relationship with somebody, when he pays me rent, so it becomes his house for that period of time, so then it's not L'Sovi Soev El Beisecho, it's not my bias anymore, it's not my problem. But if you hold that Schiris is Lo Kanya, then it's a problem. If you hold that Schiris is Lo Kanya, what that basically means is that it's still the mosque's house, it's still the original Balabas's house, even though the non-Jew is living there, the non-Jew has certain rights in Cheshmish, but the Imam is they can't necessarily throw him out, but if he's going to bring a Avodah Zarah in, that's going to be my problem. So that's the Gemara raises the question, what's the din? Is L'Savi Soeva Beisecha going to apply in a mosque Yisoka type of relationship? The Gemara comes to the conclusion, based on Mishnah's in Maseches Avodah Zarah, that it is a problem. Mishnah says explicitly that I'm not permitted to rent the house to a non-Jew if it's going to be a type of scenario that he's going to bring in an idol. And the Gemara says the reason for that is because Schiris Lo Kanya. So the Gemara concludes black and white, Schiris Lo Kanya, finish, end of discussion, that Schiris is in fact Lo Kanya. The Torah doesn't view that relationship with Masker Socher as the item belonging to the Socher. It's still belonging to the original Masker, and therefore it's the Masker's problem if there's going to be a Avodah Zarah in that house. So the Rishonim have to point out that issue of Schiris Kanya, Schiris Lo Kanya, although the Gemara of Zara seems to just say it as a blanket statement, Schiris Lo Kanya, end of discussion, there are other Gemaras that don't seem to bear out that type of relationship. First and foremost is the Gemara in the fourth paragraph of Maseches Bava Metzia. We spoke a little bit about this in Kol Boker this week in a little bit of a different context. The Gemara in Maseches Bava Metzia in the fourth paragraph is discussing the dinim of Ono'ah. The Torah tells us in Parshas Bahar that when I sell you an item, so I'm not permitted to cheat you on the price. In both directions. I'm not allowed to cheat you, you're not allowed to cheat me. So there's an Isser of Ono, and then there are consequences of Ono. if I go ahead and I cheat you, so then, depending on how bad I cheated you, the sale may be null and void, or maybe the sale may be valid, but I may have to return that extra money that I wasn't entitled to. So those are two different parts of the Dinim of Anoa, all based on the series of psukim in Parshas Bahar. Half of the fourth paragraph of Metzia is dedicated to those Dinim of Anoa. So the Gemara of Metzia raises the Shaila, Yesh Anoa L'Schira, so Ein Anoa L'Schira. So what would the Din be if I don't sell you an item? I'm not selling you a car. I'm renting you a car. So the going rate for renting a car is $100 a day. And I pull you along, I tell you, Bubba Mites, and I tell you that it's really $130 a day. You just came in from Manitou. You don't know anything about renting cars. You're assuming I'm telling you the truth. You go and you rent it at $130 a day. And now, so a week later, you come to the realization it's not true, that you know, I cheated you. So you want to take me to a Din Torah? So do you have a right to take me to a Din Torah based on Ilchus Anoa? No. If I would have sold you the car, let's say, I told you that the car is $30,000. You don't know anything about cars. You came in and you thought it was, I tell you the truth. I told you it was $30,000. It wasn't really. It was really $22,000. So I cheated you by $8,000. So in a case of Mechira, you take me to Din Torah based on Ilchus Anoa, and you would get your money back. What's the din in terms of schiras? Do we say that the parsha of Anoa in the Torah applies only to mechiras, or does it apply even to schiras? That's the shah of the Gemara. What does the issue depend upon? So it says, v'chisimku mimkar la'misecha. Is this a mechira? It's not a mechira. So comes the Gemara and says, yeah, it's a mechira. The Gemara says, when you rent an item from somebody, it's v'chiksiv mimkar li'olam. It doesn't say the Torah, v'chisimku mimkar la'misecha li'olam. It says, v'chisimku mimkar la'misecha. It's not mimkar, it's a mechira, it's a lash of mechira. So a schiras, the Gemara coins a phrase, schiras is a mechira li'yayimahu. It's a one-day mechira, it's a 1 week, it's a 1 month, 6 months, 3 years, whatever it is. It's a temporary mechira, but it's still considered to be a mechira. So the Rishon Mabadah, how can you have your cake and eat it? How can you say in a Zara, it's chiras, it's not a mechira, that's a nothing. It's chiras lo kanya. Just listen to the word, it's chiras lo kanya. And you have the same breath, the Gemara says, mechira liyayma. So how do you resolve those two statements? What do you mean it's a mechira liyayma? How can it be a mechira liyayma if it's chiras lo kanya? So different Rishonim have different ways to solve that apparent contradiction. So Taisus writes in Maseches Bava Metzia that the starting point, the truth is that Schiras Lokanya. That's the Emes Lamitoi. In Kolotot, Kulo Schiras Lokanya. And Onoa is the exception to the rule. Why is Onoa the exception to the rule? So Taisus says that Gzeres HaKosov and Onoa is different. What's the Gzeres HaKosov? Memkar. Because it doesn't say Mechiril Yoylam. It says the word Mechisimko Memkar. Memkar is an extra word. It could have just said Mechisimko Rula Misecha. Why does it say Memkar? Memkar is a teaching on Memkar Koldo. Even a mini mechira, even a quasi mechira, even a make-believe mechira, is chiras. Even though, is it really mechira? It's not really mechira. And if not for the special pasuk, the special read with the extra word, I would never, ever have equated chiras to a mechira. But kav goes right there. So basically, what Taisa says is that the rule is the way we started from the sugya of Avodah Zarah, that chiras is not a lokanya. And when I rent an item from somebody, I am not the owner. I do not become the owner. I don't have any bailus over it. It's just a quirk in Ilchus Anoa that you don't really need the regular standards of Mechira for Ilchus Anoa. And any kind of a business deal, even a non-Mechira, so to speak, is also considered to be subject to Anoa. That's what Taisa suggests. And other Rishonim say no. Other Rishonim say it's not really a stira. Is it considered to be a Mechira, not a Mechira? It depends what you're talking about. If you're talking about the Guf Adov, or if you're talking about the item itself, it's not a Mechira. So that's what the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah. When the Torah says, L'savi su'eva el be'secha, so the Torah is saying, the owner of the bayis cannot have a Avodah Zarah in his house. If you're a Jew, and you own a bayis, you can't have an idol. It doesn't matter who's worshipping, not where. It doesn't matter. It's your problem. If you own property, if there's an idol in your property, that's the issur deraisa of L'savi su'eva be'secha. So that's what the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says, that you're not the owner. The bottom line is, chiras lo kanya, so you don't own the guf hadavar. Does that mean that the socher has no kinyan? The socher does have a kinyan. He has a kinyan vis-a-vis ishtamshus in the item. He has a kinyan in certain areas. He has a. Some rishonim may even call it a quasi kinyan peiros. We'll talk about the relationship possibly with that as we go along. So, is there some kind of a mechira taking place? Absolutely. There's a mechira of schuyos. There's a mechira of peiros. There's a mechira of ishtamshus. Whatever phrase you want to coin in terms of what the kinyan is, there is a kinyan between a mask and a socher. It's just not a kinyan on the Guf HaDavar. So that's what the Gemara in Bava Metzia says. Well, for Hilchos Anoa, you don't need a kinyan on the Guf HaDavar. A kinyan of Ishtamshus is also subject to Anoa. A kinyan of Peiros is also subject to cheat you in any kind of a acquisition. Lavdavka on the Gufadov. So different opinions in the Rishonim, how to explain the seeming contradiction between in Hilchos of Adazara, we say, Schiris Lokan, you're finished, don't bother me, it still belongs to the original owner. Whereas in Hilchos Bavitzir, Hilchos Ono, we say, no, there is some kind of a Mechira here. So either you say that the basic rule is there's no Mechira, there's mamish nothing, Zero Sibba, absolutely no Mechira, but Gzeris HaKosav Ono is different, or you say, no, it's not a special Gzeris HaKosav Ono. All the Gemara is telling us is that it's a mechira vis-a-vis certain aspects, and not vis-a-vis other aspects. And Hilchos Ono depends on one set of criteria, and Hilchos Avodah Zarah depends on another set of criteria. So there are different ways in the Rishonim how to resolve the problem. But for most practical purposes, in terms of tachlis and ba'ilus, who really, honest to goodness, owns the object? If I own a car and I rent you out the car, who really owns it? So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that for the Kirin HaGuf, and for all practical purposes, for 99% of the areas of Halacha, it still belongs to the mosque, it still belongs to the original owner. However, there may be a serious limitation on this Gemara Maseches of Adazara, which is going to potentially impact us, Lamaisa. The Rishonim are very bothered with this sugya in the first parak of Adazara, that the Mishnah says outright that it's also to rent out to rent out houses to goyim because they're going to bring in the avodah zarah, the beis dira. If they're going to bring in the idols, they're going to worship the idols, and that's my problem because chiras lo kanya. So the Rishonim ask one basic question of this entire sugi, the whole daf of the sechs of avodah zarah. The Rishonim say, how come as man as then nobody does this? That's basically the gist of the question. So we rent out houses to goyim. Balatayz say we own houses, we rent them to goyim. What's going on? So the Ferish and Mishnah, the Ferish and the whole daf in the Gemara that ain maskirim batim ma'akam b'chamokom beish mechzis al sechen avodah zarah. And points of pivots, people do it right and left. The firmest people are renting out apartments to goyim, and nobody ever raises a red flag. So Taisus, what's going on? What happened over here? So Taisus tries very hard to explain what's going on. So there are different approaches in the Rishonim how to solve this dilemma. So one whole approach of a whole group of Rishonim that Taisus quotes is to say that the issue of renting out houses to goyim is because the goyim are bringing in the avodah zarah. That's assuming that that's correct. Assuming that the goyim are really bringing in the avodah zarah. So Taisus writes, in a sense, the good news for us is that the goyim aren't bringing in idols anymore. Who's bringing in idols? We're living in France in 1100s. No one's bringing in idols. So Taisus writes, what are they bringing in? What's the worst they're bringing in? So Taisus writes, they weren't so religious. When does everyone get religious? Before they die. So he says, so they would bring in whatever they would bring in a minute before they die. That's not real idols. They're bringing in other things. They don't really believe in that. They don't bow down to it. It's a representation. It's a this, it's a that. It's a whole story. To say that they're bringing in Mamashal Pesa like they did in the days of the paganism, it doesn't really exist, Bismanazah. So the Ipatisa says, we're not in any shape or form, Khalil Bakhli advocating other religions, worshipping other religions. We're not Chas V'Shalom mitigating the fact that we're not permitted to believe and to worship and to do anything of any other religion. Khalil Bakhli says Taisus. But in terms of saying, are they practically speaking, as your average non-Jew in France in the 1100s have idols in his house? Idols in the sense of, does he have certain other things? Maybe he has other things in his house. Does he have idols that he bows down to that particular idol, and he worships that idol, and believes that that idol has divine powers? Usually not. They may have other things that remind them of certain things, and but an idol that they mamish bow down to and pray to? Unlikely, Taisus writes. And therefore, maybe the Lissa doesn't apply anymore. That's one whole line of reasoning to suggest that maybe the Issa doesn't really apply this man. Is that on pure technical reasons, not necessarily on halachic grounds. So comes the Rosh and says, no. Comes the Rosh and says, okay, I'll tell you the real reason why people are not careful about this Issa anymore. Says the Rosh, because on pure halachic grounds, the Issa doesn't apply anymore. Why? So the Gemara is quite clear, and after Zvav and Masech Sefer Nezara, that the whole reason why the Isser applies is predicated on the assumption that Schiris Lokanya, that the house still belongs to the original owner. So comes the Rosh and says, what would the din be if, let's say, a Masper and a Socher would enter into an agreement that the Socher would become the owner? Say, I decide I want to rent you a house, and we'll draw up a document that basically says that I am relinquishing my bailus on the house. I'm going to set up a situation where Schiris is Kanya. Could we do such a thing? Yes, says the Rosh. In Dini Mamunis, we're pretty much free to do whatever we want. The standards of Dini Mamunis are not exactly the same as Issa Beheter. The Gemara says that it's in a heter. So the Torah says you can't eat chazer. So you can't make a deal with your Rabban Shalom that it should be okay for you to eat chazer. The Torah says you can't mechal Shabbos. So you can't make a deal for you. It's not Shabbos, doesn't apply. But in the realm of Dini Mamonos, so much of Dini Mamonos is geared towards the relationship between Reuben and Shimon. So if Reuben and Shimon decide they want to enter into a business deal in a sense that this particular area of Chashi Mishpat shouldn't apply to them, they can do whatever they want. So let's say Reuben and Shimon enter into an agreement saying that, listen, I'm going to sell you this prop, I'm going to sell you this this car, and the Dini Mamonos shouldn't apply. Reuben signs on a dotted line, and Shimon signs on a dotted line. So Menashe ain't both of them. So finish. Kol Tanai Shimon Mamon Kayim. Well, let's say the Torah says, if I give you an item to watch, and I don't pay you, so you're Shem Echinam. And if something happens to the item, so the item gets stolen, so you don't have to pay me. Let's say I want to give you an item to watch, and I say I'd like you to be responsible. I'm not going to pay you, but I want you to have the responsibility. B'Shem Esachar, I want you to have the high level of responsibility. And the other person says, good, I'm willing to accept that high level of responsibility. So the Mishnah says, Master Shem Echinam Lios K'Shem Esachar. So if the two people want to agree that they want to create that model of Shem Esachar, even though in reality the person is Shem Echinam, so why don't you say, I'm violating the Torah, Shteir Pashem Mishpatim, you can't do that, it's awesome to do that. Let's say Pashem Mishpatim, it's awesome to do that. It says in Pashem Mishpatim, if all else is equal, if no other agreement was made, so it's understood, Shem Echinam has dinim X, Y, and Z, Shem Esachar has dinim A, B, and Z, Shol is A, B, and Z, Socher is X, Y, Z. The Torah is giving you guidelines that in the absence of any personal agreement, if the two of you want to make an agreement, so you can do whatever you want. Now, not always. There are certain areas of halacha that, although they look like mamonos, but they're not really mamonos. For example, ribbis. We spoke about this in the past. Let's say ribbis. The malva and the loiv are going to get together, and they're going to say, oh, well, we would like to agree that the dinim of ribbis shouldn't apply. I said, you can't do that. That's exactly what the Torah said. The loiv is also not allowed to give ribbis, because ribbis is not really cheshe mishpat. Proof positive. It's not a cheshem mishpat. Didn't move ribbis on your day. They're not a cheshem mishpat. Because ribbis is more of an issa v'heter. It's an issa v'heter that involves cash, but it's basically an issa v'heter. But look at see in most areas of cheshem mishpat, if the two parties want to agree, they can do whatever they want. So comes the Rush and says, that's basically what's taking place with Zman Hazeh. Zman Hazeh, when we rent houses, when we rent property, so there's an understood relationship that we're not following the model of the Torah of Schiris Lokanya. If all else is equal, if nobody made any preconditions, so then the din is Schiris is Lokanya. But if the two parties agree, then Schiris is Kanya. Says the Rush, Zman Hazeh, it's understood that Schiris is Kanya. How do I know? Why is it understood? So says the Rush, I'll tell you why it's understood. There's a Gemara at the end of Metzia that has the following Chiddush. The Gemara says, let's say I own a house, and I rent you the house. And I'm the owner, and you're the renter, and something happens to my house. I have another place to live across the street. My house gets destroyed. So the Gemara says in Metzia, I can come and knock on your door and say, thank you very much. I know I rented you. I know we signed the contract for 5 years, signed the lease, but I don't have a place to live, and there's no way you're going to be living in a house and I'm going to be living in the street. So please vacate the premises in the next week, and I'm moving back in. I'd like to, I'm voiding the contract. So the Gemara says, you can do that. Gemara says it's understood that when I rent the house from you, it's an implicit understanding that you're not, that if the mosque has nowhere to live, of course it's going to be able to bump the seicher out. So the Rush writes, go try to pull that off, Bisman Hazeh. Go to, I don't know anything about any one of the real estate lawyers, I don't know what to say about that. Can I do that today? Can't do that today. So says the Rush, so why can't the Rush is sitting in Germany in 1100 to 1200 says you can't do that today. So why not? The Gemara says you can't do that, and we would never think of doing that. So says the Rush, the answer is because the Gemara was working with a very, very weak kind of a model of Schiros. In the days of Chazal, so the understanding of Schiros was, like the Torah's version of Schiros, the understanding of Schiros is not a sale. It's not really a binding contract. It's an agreement. It's Schiros Lokanya. You know, if everything else is equal, then I can't just void the contract. But if I have a real reason to void the contract, I can. If I don't have a place to live, I have a right to bump you out. So that's in the perfect Torah model of the relationship with Maske Yosoichet. Says the Rosh, nobody does that Bizman Hazeh. The Minig HaMokom is not that way. No one, Dinah the Machus, no one ever enforced such a halacha Bizman Hazeh. So therefore the Rosh says it's understood that when we rent houses today, we're renting with a different mindset. We're renting with the mindset that it's mamish belongs to the Soichet for the next 6 months. There's no one in the world that's going to bump them out of the house. If I lease a car, imagine I'm driving a car for a year and a half, and then the car company comes and knocks at my door and says, we want to take the car back. Because the owner of Toyota says, I don't have a car to drive, I need your car. I'm taking it away. So I don't think you can do that. I have a lease, that's for 3 years, I have the rights to the car. So comes the Rush and says, the fact that we have a much higher level of Eschivus Bizman Hazeh, that indicates that we practically don't really practice the din of Eschivus Lokanya. we practice the din of Schiris Kanya. But the Torah Kedosha says Schiris Lo Kanya. It doesn't say Schiris Lo Kanya. The same way the Torah doesn't say that a Shemachinim has to be a Potter and Geneva. The Torah says that these are the models of Eilam Mishpatim. This is the agreement. These are the Torah standards if and when the two parties don't make conditions otherwise. If both parties agree to make a stipulation otherwise, so Masna, other Mashkas Matur, and Dini Mominus to Kayam. So the Rosh says that's what's going on in Dini Mominus today. So that change in mindset in Dini Mominus today, says the Rosh, is now going to affect us in terms of Issa V'Heter as well. So in today's world, when we ask a question, if I rent out a house to a non-Jew, who owns the house? So you have to answer that question. Bottom line, push comes to shove, who owns the house? So whereas in the pure Torah model, the answer is the original owner owns the house. Today, that's not true. Today, the answer is, for these 3 years, the socher owns the house. That's good news for us, because then if the guy brings in Avodah Zarah, it's not my problem. He's bringing Avodah Zarah into his house, not bringing Avodah Zarah into my house. And therefore, it's the change of stipulations, it's that change of understanding of the Dimamunis, that change of practice of the Dimamunis, that now impacts in Yerodea. So this is the Rosh's whole theory, that this is ultimately the reason why it's mutter for me to rent out a house to a non-Jew. There's a flip side of this Rosh, though. There's a potential tremendous chumrah that comes out of this Rosh. Let's say the tables are turned. I'm not the owner. I'm not renting out the house to the non-Jew. What if I'm renting a house from a non-Jew? What would the halacha say? Who owns the house? So if I'm renting for the next year a house from a non-Jew, so the owner of the house, according to the Rosh's understanding, is me. I am now the owner on the house. Because in effect, with manazeh, we turn around, we flip the tables, and we say, that's Chirus is kind of manazeh, and I am the owner. What would that mean? Let's say I'm renting out a house from a non-Jew, and there are idols in that house. There's a Avodah Zarah in that house. So that'll be a problem. If you go with the Gemara's mindset, that's Chirus Lo Kanya, it's not my house, not my problem. But it's a good idea for me to be living in a house with idols, that's a different story. But in terms of the Issa Der Aisa, Lo Savi Soeva Besecha, it wouldn't be my problem. Because Chirus Lo Kanya, Deim Bechomer Ben Lekula. If Chirus Lo Kanya works to create a problem, when the non-Jew is renting from me, Chirus Lo Kanya is going to help me when I'm renting from the non-Jew. But now that the Rosh just said, cross out the word lo and substitute it with Cain, that Bismarck Chirus is Cain Kanya, so then that'll be a great kula for the Jews renting out houses to non-Jews, but it's going to be a big chumra for the Jew who is renting out houses from non-Jews. So I had the shaila one time. The good news was that the shaila was asked after it already happened, so I didn't have to tell the person about the good news or the bad news, but I didn't have to tell him what to do. That person quote, went skiing. He rented out a ski place after a week, whatever it was. And when he got there, so we saw the place was full of idols. I don't know what religion, what faith, whatever it was. A place full of idols, the real stuff, not like Tysus and the Rosh were talking about, the real McCoy. So when he came back, he asked me, was there anything wrong with me being in that place? So I said, I don't know if I told him the whole lumdus, but I said, Medina de Gemara, it sounds like it's okay. But according to the way the Rosh just said that, the Din of the Gemara doesn't play out with Manazah, so then I think it's an Issa Deraisa, because he was the owner of that house. Again, I mean, you have to take a look at the ski place arrangement. What would have happened if the owner of the ski place his ski resort would have burnt down, would have knocked on his door to take out Anna. You have to go figure out the details legally. But Lee had seen that there was a binding contract for a month, a week, whatever the binding contract was. So then it turns out that I may very well be the owner of that house, albeit temporarily. And therefore, Lo Savi Soeva Beisecha may be my problem now. So the Rosh has its pros and its cons. But in the case, at least the way the Rishonim were discussing, the more prevalent case of the Jew renting out a house to a non-Jew, and the non-Jew is going to bring in a Avodah Zarah, so the Rosh was willing to be makil based on his understanding that the tables have turned in terms of the understanding of Schiris Kanya.
Big difference. I mean, oftentimes when you rent one of these ski places, there's always a closet that the owner says you can't go into there.
Right. Oh.
So that would mean it's not completely
right.
Yours.
Well, no, that would mean that closet is not yours. It means if he wants to put all the idols in that closet, that would be okay. But the rest, I could rent that one room also. I could buy one room in your house. I could rent the room in your house. This possible switch in policy between Schiris Lo Kanya and originally the days of Chazal, in contrast to the way Meila Maisa, the Oilam, was being knowing based on the condition, on the understood tenoim between people, this may impact not only the strange area of Halacha of Avodah Zarah, but it may impact a much more down-to-earth issue in Halacha, named Luchos Mezuzah. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Menachos that a Seicher, a person who's only renting a house, renting an apartment, so he has 30 days to which to put up a Mezuzah. The first 30 days doesn't have to put up a Mezuzah. Some poskim say he shouldn't put up the mezuzah because if he puts it up, then he can't make a bracha, and then if it's up, it's a shalom making a bracha, then it gets complicated. So there are different opinions. Some say he can put it up right away if he wants to, and others say it's better not to. But lemaisa is for sure potter. Seicher is potter from putting up the mezuzah for the first 30 days. Why is that? Why is he potter from putting up the mezuzah? So Tosfos quotes two opinions about this. So Tosfos writes in one opinion, Maseches Menachos, that a seicher is always potter from mezuzah min haTorah, because it's not called beisecher. The house doesn't belong to him, so it's midarais, he's always potter. So why after 30 days does the Gemara say Beferish is chayav? That's only midarabonah, because it's nira kishalo. Because not everybody knows. Everyone sees a guy living in a house for 6 months. Not everybody knows that he's only renting. They think that he owns the house. So it's a marasayin. So midarabonah, the Chum Institute, you have to put up the mezuzah after a certain amount of time. The first couple of weeks, so nobody really thinks that you necessarily bought a house. You're there already for so long, so we understood that you have to put up the mezuzah, albeit midarabonah. And then Tosfos quotes another opinion that says, no, that the chiyah mezuzah min haTorah applies even if it's not your house. Either Torah says beisecha. We're not in the business of making drashas. The Gemara never says beisecha l'mayit by schura. So min haTorah, you have to put up a mezuzah. If you live in a house, doesn't matter whether you own the house, don't own the house. Owning the house doesn't really make a difference. So why do you have 30 days? The 30 days is a different part. 30 days is a shiur midaraisa. It's not called the dira yet. It's not called the living yet. I'm just visiting. If I mamish own the house, then it's called a dira right away. But if I didn't quite own the house yet, I'm just here. I'm here today. I'm going to leave tomorrow. So that's not called a ma'ase dira. And mezuzah, we have a rule called mezuzah chavas adar. The only chayv in mezuzah if you mamish are living in the house. So Taisus is not clear 2 days in Taisus Menachos. Why did he have the shear of 30 days? Where did the shear come from? Just parenthetically, the shear of 30 days is only for a renter, not for an owner. A lot of people make this mistake. A lot of people think they move into a house. I don't have to rush at the mezuzahs. I get time to play around with mezuzahs for a while. I have 30 days. And that's not true. 30 days is only for a renter, not for an owner. And where did the 30 days come from? Was it based on? So one day in Taisus says it's only midir abanan, because the whole chiv of seicher is only midir abanan. And the second day in Taisus, no, it's a shear midir raisa. That's considered to be a shear in terms of dira. So most of the Rishonim probably hold, most of the Poskim hold that the first antithesis is correct. The Min haTorah, you never really have to put the mezuzah. But there is a seicher is put the mezuzah. Why? Because the Torah says beisecha. The Gemara never says explicitly beisecha to exclude schura. Yeah, we assume that's the drash. We assume that was such a drash in Tosha Rapeh. That's what many Poskim, Rabbi Kenega writes, that most Poskim seem to side with that first antithesis. But in fact, with the Reis, there really is no chiv. So Vegas says, wait a second, why is it not called Beisecha? Why should it be that it's not called the Bais of the Seicher? I'm paying for it, I have a lease with you. Why shouldn't it be called the Bais of the Seicher? So Vegas says, it's Lishitasein when Avodah Zarah Daf Tezvav. The same way that the Hilchas Avodah Zarah, it's not called Beisecha. It's the same word. L'sabi su'eva el Beisecha. So the same way Hilchas Avodah Zarah, it's not called your house because Chiris Lo Kanya. Who dinami fuchas mezuzah? So the reason why seicher is not really chayv in the Torah is because chiris lo kanya. So Rabbi Kiveger says, if you just connect all the dots, so the only way to understand the sugya menachas vis-a-vis mezuzah is based on the sugya of avodah zarah vis-a-vis avodah zarah. That's the basic. It's the same standard of beisecha. And whatever beisecha means in one area of halacha means in the other area of halacha. So chiris lo kanya. So the house belongs ultimately to the maskir. That's the creates the issur of having the goy living in the house with the avodah zarah. Schiris is Lokanya, and Schiris Lokanya is the poter for Hilchas Mezuzah as well. So the truth is, Rabbi Kiveger wasn't the first one to make that jump, to make that comparison between the word Beisecha. Tosfos, back in Avodah Zarah, when they were searching for a reason, as though for a defense, a rationale for living, for having the non-Jews renting the apartments from us, what happened to the Yisrael Losavi Soeva Beisecha? So Tosfos quotes one opinion that has a creative solution. Tosfos writes that maybe the Isser of Losavi Soeva Beisecha doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz. You know why? Because in Chutz La'aretz, we don't really own the land. He says, it really belongs to the Goyim. The Goyim are being nice, they're letting us live in their land, they can kick us out. They're the Bachus, they'll throw us out, they'll have a pogrom, a crusade tomorrow, they'll throw us out. We don't really own the land, we don't have a Chutz in the land. Maybe Losavi Soeva Beisecha really only applies in Eretz Yisrael. When a person, a Jew, really sets down roots, really in Eretz Yisrael, living in Chutz La'aretz, it's a temporary kind of a living. Losavi, so therefore the Isser of Losavi Soeva Beisecha doesn't apply. So that's what Tosfos quotes from one of the Rishonim. So Tosfos says, if that would be the case, then we wouldn't be chayv mezuzah in Chutz La'aretz either, because it's not uchsaftam mezuzah b'secha v'sherecha. Doesn't sound that way. Forget that's the mitzvah that the Sifrei says. It says vavadatam mehirah mi'alan satovash. It says you're going to go to Golos, and then it immediately says v'samtem is devarah eila uchsaftam mezuzah b'secha v'sherecha. So the Sifrei asks the question: what's the hemshech advarim? What's the continuation? We just spoke about this in during Wednesday night shiur. Like this week, we just spoke about it Wednesday night. What's the continuation between the psukim? The psukim say you're going to go into Golos, and then it says, oh, by the way, you have to put mezuzahs. So the Sifrei says, that even though you're going to Golos, you're going to Chutz Lartz, you have to still put on tefillin, and still put on mezuzahs, still put mezuzahs on your house. So you have to still continue to do mitzvahs, even though you're in Chutz Lartz. So the Torah says the same, because you have to put mezuzahs in Chutz Lartz. So the Torah says, yes, Abba Zoi, that it's not called Beisecha in Huchas Avarazara, and it shouldn't be called Beisecha in Huchas Mezuzah. So Taisus, based on that question, rejects that opinion. So you see, Rabbi Kivayeg wasn't the first one to realize that there's some kind of a correlation. It's the same word, the din and the hagdars are the same. So comes Rabbi Kivayeg and says, if you put all the connected dots, the reason why the seicher is not chayav in a Torah is because chirus lo kanya. That's what Rabbi Kivayeg writes in the Shuvah. Good, very nice. So now, we'll move the clock forward 200 years. So some poskim came up with the following suggestion. They said, wait a second. He said, if Rabbi Kivayeg is right, that the reason why the chiyah mezuzah for a seicher is only midirabbanon is because he doesn't own the house, because chiyah is lo kanya, maybe that changes bizman hazeh. I rented an apartment, I signed a lease for 2 years, so the rush just got finished telling me in Avodah Zarah that you do own the house. The rush said, that's the matter for renting houses to goyim, because bizman hazeh, there's a din de machusa, there's a tanai, there's an understanding, there's a stipulation, that's chiyah says kanya. So then, if that's the case, then bizman hazeh, chiyah should be kanya, filchus mezuzah as well. And what would that mean? So now if you just connect the dots to the next step, it comes out that if I rent an apartment, I rent a house, I'm chayv mezuzah midaraisa, I become chayv mezuzah minatara because it's called Beisecha. The whole pot there of mezuzah midaraisa, it's not called Beisecha because we were working with the Torah concept of Schiris Lokanya, but that Torah concept doesn't apply anymore because we've overridden it, and in fact, we override the Torah concept by making it tonight, by signing a contract, by going to court. So it's understood that the mosque and socha relationship is different than the Torah's model, and we have a right to do that because it's only Dira Mamun Hasanah, we do whatever we want. So just as we've changed the Torah's model of Schirus vis-a-vis Yuchas Avarizara, that helped us the Kula, we have to change the Torah's model vis-a-vis Mezuzah, which is going to work less L'chumra. So basically, what we're saying is that according to Rav Kivayeg's observation, that the only reason to explain why it's not called Beisecha is because of Schiris Lokanya, and that din of Schiris Lokanya doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh, and then the din of Beisecha doesn't, that Torah Beisecha doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh. Comes out that Bizman Hazeh, the Chiyuv of Beisecha, would be a Chiyuv de Araisa. So this is not my suggestion. So I know of two people, two Gedolim, Yipalim, Chaim L'Chaim, who came up with the same suggestion on two different sides of the ocean. So Rabbi Shechter has already said this many times, he suggested this, the chayv bizman hazeh, the chayv b'sarcha should be a chayv d'araisa, and disappears also in the sefer Rav Shach. So Rav Shach in the sefer Avi Ezri and the Rambam has this ha'ara. In the middle of a piece in Rav Shach, so he has a one paragraph where he writes, just connect the dots. He says, if chayv lokanya doesn't apply, the chayv b'sarcha d'rabban is all based on chayv lokanya, and the whole thing doesn't apply bizman hazeh. So b'daraisa, there's a chayv b'sarcha. Okay, so is there any earth-shattering ramifications of that statement? That a chiyuv of a socher is a deraisa b'zman hazeh? We're putting up mezuzahs anyway, so who cares? Deraisa, they're fun. I'm making a bracha anyway. Does it really make a difference? Yeah, it makes a big difference. So we said that the only reason why a socher has the right to wait for 30 days, according to most opinions in Taisis, is because the whole chiyuv of socher is on the rabban. So the chiyuv only kicks in after 30 days. But if it would be the araisa, if you own the house, you have to put it up right away. So one can argue that whole 30-day window doesn't apply for Bizman Hazeh. So that's Rabbi Shechter Faskins. That's what he tells people, that when they rent apartments, they should put up the mezuzahs right away. So if you make that cheshbon, then the whole 30 days falls by the wayside. The Chabad Nafkamin is, the Pesach Tshuva writes in Tshuva Nuchas Mezuzah that when you have shadows in Nuchas Mezuzah, you have a suffix in Nuchas Mezuzah. It's a chayv is upon us. The Pesach Tshuva writes, how should you be nahei? So he writes, it depends. If you own the house, you should be machmer, sveka deraisa l'chumra. If you don't own the house, if you're only renting the house, then we should say sveka derban l'kula. So Pesach Tshuva has a lot of kulas in Nuchas Mezuzah based on that principle. We have certain leniencies that we accept l'mais in Nuchas Mezuzah, working with the assumption that it's not a derban anyway, I'm only renting it anyway. Now we have to reevaluate all those kulas. Wait a second, maybe those kulas don't apply to Bizman Hazeh. Maybe we have to assume that Sveika, that every suffix of Mezuzah goes L'chumra. So those two ramifications of that premise are going to affect us on the ground in terms of Ilchus Mezuzah. So I don't want to argue outright with Gedolei Olam. But I don't think that most of the posts can go along with this line of reasoning, including Rabbi Kiveger himself. Rabbi Kiveger was the whole one who said that Tzchiris is Lokanya, and that's the reason why Mezuzah is the Rabbanan, and the whole Chagadya. But Rabbi Kiveger himself is quoted by the Pesach Tshuva in Uchas Mezuzah as saying, if you have a Suffolk in Achir Mezuzah, it's only a Bayi Suffolk, it's only rented that it's Suffolk Lakula. So Rabbi Kiveger himself knew the whole Cheshbon, and he himself didn't connect the dots. So why didn't Rabbi Kiveger? That's a good question. Maybe we'll find that answer out in subsequent Shiur in terms of Bailas. But although in pure Lomdus it sounds right, it sounds like all the dots should be connected, and the Chiyuv Mezuzah B'zman Hazeh should be the Araisa for the Socher. Lemais, if you look in the earlier poskim, nobody else made that jump, nobody else made that connection. So the question is, why not? Logically, it makes a lot of sense. We'll have to see. Based on some other issues of Bailas, we have to touch upon hopefully in upcoming Shurim, why maybe we can argue with those dots being connected. So I'll call upon him. The relationship of Maske Socher is a critical understanding in terms of these kinds of multi-Bailases. I have some rights, you have other rights. Who is the Bible? The real owner really stand up? So it depends for what. Owner may be different, that Avodah may be different, that Mezuzah, you have to figure out who is the Bailam when you have these kinds of multiple, quote-unquote owners, multiple people having shares in a given property. Who is the Halachic Bailam? How is this going to impact in different areas of Allah? Hopefully, Mitzvah next week. So we'll continue with similar kinds of related issues where I have certain stake in a property, you have other stake in a property, who's considered to be the Bailas, depending on what the how Chashem Mishra is going to impact on different areas in our Chayim.